Now, we have been speaking about the Christ, the final truth. We began that a few weeks ago, and we are going to continue that. Let's just read the portion of the scriptures to start it today. The book of Ephesians is where we'll start from today. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm trying to find which verse we should start from, so we won't have to read too many. Let's just start from verse 2. It's from verse 1. It said, "And you were dead in your trespasses," Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 1. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived." Now I'm just jumping because it's a safe time. Verse 4 says, "But God, being rich in mercy because of his love, of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved," that's in brackets, all right, "and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing greatness of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Now, please notice that his grace in kindness is shown toward us in Christ Jesus. "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Now, please notice verse 8 is the main one I want to read. It said, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that salvation is not of yourselves." It said, "And that's not of yourselves." He said, "It is a gift of God." Remember last time, I said that I was speaking on the gift of God. I want to pick up from there today. And my message today is titled, "Receiving the Gift of God." All right? It's not every time I have a title, so when you hear it, you rejoice. All right? The Lord is good. All right. So, he said, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship," that is, we are his handiwork, "were created in Christ Jesus for a purpose." And that purpose, he said, is for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we will walk in them. Now notice verse 11. "Therefore remember that formerly," everybody say formerly.
Formerly.
Now, it's formal. "Formerly, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by the so-called circumcision." That word "so-called" is to show you that he doesn't believe it. Paul didn't accept it. All right? He said this circumcision is performed in the flesh by human hands. He said, "Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise." Now, please, let's repeat that word again. Formally. Repeat it again. Formally.
Formally.
There's a reason why I'm emphasizing it. So he said, "Formally, you were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and formally, you were strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now," please again, let's say, "but now."
But now.
See two words there, or two phrases. Initially, we said formally, but now we are saying, "but now." He said, "but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups," that is, the so-called circumcision and the uncircumcision, "he made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall." How did he do it? "By abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through his cross, by it having put to death the enmity." Now, there's a reason why I kept on emphasizing the issue of formerly, and then we now saw, "but now." Now, what we have been talking about, I'll come to the reason in a moment, but what we have been talking about for some time is this issue of Christ. That's the title, "The Final Truth." I want to just explain again, just for a minute, why we are doing this. The reason is simple. I see Christians every day laboring to please God. They do things to try and come into God's favor. All right? That's what I observe. You see, Christians, the way they walk, they put in a lot of energy as if, let us do this so that God will be happy with us. These are the things we will do, and then we will now find that God will have a reason to pour his blessing upon us. All right? Now, know what Paul said here? He said, by grace you have been saved through faith. And that didn't have, that is, your salvation, you didn't have to do anything about it. All right? Now, Christians these days, they don't understand it. They think that, and this is the way it explains, it manifests itself most often. Christians say, before I prosper, what I need to do is to give. And when I give enough, a day will come that God will be satisfied with my giving, and then he will pour prosperity upon me. They said, all right, how do I prosper? How do I get deliverance? I will pray. And then one day I will have prayed enough, and then God will be happy, and I will grant the deliverance that I'm seeking. Or what do we do? Let us fast. We will fast and fast until we will have fasted enough so as to make God happy with us. And so we start counting fasting in days. How many days have you done? We start counting hours of prayer. How many hours have you prayed? What is the purpose? The purpose is to see whether I have filled up the basket so that God will say, now this thing is full. Now, we have enough of scriptures to support some of the things that we are saying that are not correct. That say when the clouds are full, they pour forth rain upon the earth. Now, these are correct principles, but they are wrongly applied. Are you getting my point? I gave an example, which is, this will just be a very good illustration. One day I was in my home, and my little boy, Victory, he was packing money. And when he was packing the money, I was looking at it. All right? 5 naira, 10 naira, you know, just arranging his money. Money he got from different ways. I don't know which work he did. All right? And then one day, he was looking at the money, and he said, look, this money is plenty. It was a lot. Maybe it was some very close to like 100 naira or so. A lot of money. Now, you can say that when the clouds are full, they pour forth rain upon the earth. When Victor will have gathered enough money, he will get a new shirt. All right? The principle sounds reasonable, right? When Victor will have gathered enough money, he will be able to go to the kind of school that he likes. When Victor will have gathered enough money, he will get a very good bicycle. All right? That's if he did not know Victory. If he did not know his father. You are getting what I'm explaining. If he did not know his family, you could be thinking like that. All right? I was observing him that day, and this revelation just came to my heart again, more like understanding. I just said, gosh, this is what Christians do. This is what we do. We try and pile up our good works, hoping that one day it will pay our school fees. Are you getting my point? We pile up our good works, hoping that one day it will bring forth prosperity. We pile up our good works so that one day to give us promotion in life. And God, the Father, is sitting down watching. That day I was watching my son. I said, if you like, gather this 5 naira, 10 naira. If you and your, I was thinking to myself, if you and your siblings go to one trip to ShopRite, that's 1 year's labor for you. That is, what am I saying, 1 year's labor? It is more than 1 year's labor of gathering this your money. Oh, for those who don't know Victory, he's 6 years old. All right? He doesn't work. Somebody dashes him money, no little things. Just monies, you can't even explain how they come, but they are usually in pieces, 5 naira, 10 naira, 20 naira. And he was gathering it dutifully. Except that it's not going to achieve anything for him. Nothing. Not because money doesn't have value in itself, but what he needs. Do you understand? Like the other day, he came to me yesterday. He said, when am I going to get my own PSP? Because he has two senior brothers, and each one of them has a PSP. So he was gauging it. What is the age, all right, by which I will attain to my own PSP? You understand? They come all the time. How come Akinle has a phone? I'll say, he's in secondary school. Okay. So what you are saying is that once I hit GS1, I get a phone. I said yes. So because I know GS1 is still fine. So I have I have peace of mind, you know, for some time. Now I'm bringing an issue here. You see that even though money has value, all right, even though if he could gather enough, he'll be able to do those things. But the scenario, the setting makes all his works of no effect. Are you getting my point? Because all the things he's asking for, I have paid for them. Let me put it like that. All right? So gathering, what he needs to do is just to come up to me and explain that he needs this thing. And if I'm persuaded that he needs it, I give it to him. Not because he deserves. Now, please get my point. Not because he has done anything to deserve it. The thing that made him qualify to get it was that one day they said to my wife, it's a boy. Are you getting my point? Did you catch what I mean there? Yes. Yeah, that is my son. My wife gave birth to a son, and the boy bears my name. For that reason, he is qualified to receive everything I can afford, not what he can work for. You are getting the point I'm making? And that's one thing Christians don't seem to understand these days, and I want to emphasize it again in this series of teachings. Like, I may sound like a broken down record that you have said it again and again, but I don't think people have heard it enough. And I like what Ken Hagin said, where there is no repetition, the people are not established. Peter said, I know you know these things, but I will not neglect to remind you of them. It's very important that you understand it. That we say Christ, the final truth. People have labored and have labored. People like Buddha, I give examples. I give stories of the Hindus. They struggle to attain to spirituality. But we say Jesus is the gift of God. He came down to pull us up to spirituality. That's the point. Everything we have, people aspire to in life. Now listen to me. Every single thing that people aspire to in life, it has been done for us in Christ Jesus. I'm going to repeat something again today, all right? But I was reading the book of Colossians, all right, the one that we have been reading again and again. And I decided to summarize a number of things. Things that we have, or things that have been done for us in Christ Jesus. I will not explain them. I'll just summarize. I'm going to a particular point. For example, you'll find these things there. Don't just bother. You can find it there in in chapter 2 of the book of Colossians. All right, just pick out some words. He said that we have been made complete in Christ Jesus. That we are not trying to be complete, we have been made complete in Him. He said in Him we have been circumcised. He said we have been buried in baptism. And He said also, that's number 4, we've been raised up with Him from the dead. He said we have been made alive together with Him. Listen to this. He said He has forgiven us all our transgressions also in Him. And in Him, He has cancelled the certificate of decrees that were written against us. In Him, He disarmed all the devil's cohorts, principalities and powers that are gathered against us. And He said that in Him, we triumph over them all. That's a matter of fact. Now listen to this. Not because of your prayer. I keep on saying these things. Don't ever, ever think that the reason why you have victory over the devil is because you have prayed enough. Don't ever, ever think that the reason why you have victory over the devil is because you live a very holy life. Don't ever, ever think that the reason why you have victory over the devil is because you have fasted enough. The only reason why you have victory over the devil is because Jesus triumphed over them by virtue of His death and His resurrection, which we are celebrating this weekend. Listen, though, there's no second reason. I'd like to see, listen. You know, there was something that Job said. When Job was speaking, he said that, has it ever happened, all right, that I looked up to the sun, was it sun or the moon or stars, and then secretly, my heart, you know, like in my heart, I raised my hands up to them, or I blew a kiss towards them. Now, there's a reason why I explained that. That is, I may not do it overtly, but when they were trying to count the things that Job did that were wrong, all right? One of the things he said that even in my heart, I did not secretly blow a kiss towards the sun. That is, as to worship it. That's the point he was trying to make. Why did I bring up that issue? As believers also, we must not secretly, you know, quietly, you know, small in our heart, come towards the throne of grace, all right, to pray. So, you know, we now secretly think, we keep that thing in our heart, that I have been doing good, so God, don't forget. I don't know what I heard what I said. Yeah. It is a mistake. In fact, those are the things that came to a head. I had to preach this series again. And I found out when I looked at our catalog again, I found out there's another one I did last year titled The Work of Christ. Okay? Please go and listen to it again. I'm sure many of the things I'm saying now, I said them then. But of course, new light will keep on coming to these things as we keep on talking about them. I just want to emphasize to us again this evening. Please, don't even seek now. You understand how I'm using that word secretly now? I'm picking it from Job. Job said, why nobody is looking? All right? In the same manner, don't secretly, you know, just something inside your heart, secretly trusting in what you have done when you come to God, all right, to make requests. I've heard Christians say things that when I hear it, I feel bad. Now, if you don't have understanding, you wonder what's making me feel bad. I've seen somebody before, all right? The child was ill. Let me give an example. Maybe the child had an eye problem, all right? So the person came to our hospital, and I was looking at, you know, I got involved a bit, was saying that, God cannot let my child's eye go blind. Now, listen to this. Me, that last week, we're still contributing money to save somebody else's child's eyes. Once you say that, my heart bleeds. You are exposing yourself to satanic attack. You come and say that, God will not let this happen to me. I told you once, okay? There was a man I met. Two of his sons died in one day. All right? One day. In fact, three boys died that day. They were playing rough play, locked themselves in their father's, the boot of their father's car, and all three suffocated to death. And the whole street was looking for them. It was the next day when somebody wanted to wash the car. They had still not found the boys. But they opened the boot of the car, and they were all there, dead. So we had to examine the body to just be sure of what happened. So the father was with me, and he was speaking, and he broke down into tears at the time. And he made a statement. I said, this is the problem with Christians. He said, I that am paying school fees for other people's children. How can this happen? You know, and that's why we do good work sometimes. It's unconscious in our minds. It's what we are using to deserve good from the hands of God. I have been commissioned by God. Like Kaman would say, I've been deputized to come and tell you that what you are doing, what you think and behave like that, is called iniquity. Iniquity in Christianity is funny. It's not what we think it is. I said last time that Jesus is the gift of God. All right? That sin is not what people think it is. Sin is that God gave you a gift and you rejected it. In fact, two things I did not say. All right? I'll build up to it. I'll say it in a moment. When we are studying that book of Colossians, you'll notice there were two things that Paul warned people against. All right? Number one, he warned people against having this attitude of working towards achieving a position of deserving good from the hands of God. He warned against it. In fact, in my notes, I wrote, I said, beware. One, beware of engaging in personal attempts at attaining what God has already done for you in Christ. Listen, you may say that, well, Pastor Banky, some people preach like this. Listen, how do I say it? I just have to preach what I'm supposed to preach because it's the truth. Let me just be like that. And Christian life has levels. Sometimes, all right, you remember the story of Apollos. Apollos came expressing, the Bible says, accurately the things of Christ, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. That was the problem. You can only express accuracy to the level of your own intimacy. Are you getting my point? It's what you are intimate with that you can explain, you know, accurately up to that level. But he was speaking to Priscilla and Aquila, and they called him aside, and this man was moving everybody with his explanation of the gospels, of the prophets, trying to preach about Christ. But Aquila and Priscilla looked at it, and he would say something. They said, oh, that's good, Oboga. No, you didn't. After, at the end, they called him and said, can we see you? Priscilla and Aquila have been, you know, they have been deputized. They have been trained, discipled by Paul. So when Apollos arrived and they heard what he was saying, they knew this man was not well acquainted with many things. So they sat him down and said, what is going on? You only know about the baptism of John. You never heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that only the Son of God can give. Come, let's tell you some things. The Bible said, I expounded these things to him more accurately. I'm not here to fight the doctrines you have heard before. I'm trying to take you from one level to another level, which is actually the superior level of Christ Jesus. I explained to you before, life has different spheres. It has different realms. You see, you have to choose the realm you are walking in. And I said something a few weeks ago. Once God exposes you to a new realm, walking below it means you are walking in sin every day. Listen, I will say this to shock some people. There are those who listen to me that the reason why they don't prosper anymore is because they are still tithing. Yes, I did that deliberately. Just to shock life out, you know, shock it, shock common sense into you. Because you see, you have heard this thing. You still think that if you don't tithe, you won't prosper. Come and see the prosperity. Let's see it now. It is not because, listen, before you met me, you know, some of you made a mistake the day you entered here. The day you walked in here, your own don't jam. That is, it would have been better if you stood outside. It is not because God has a problem. Now, please, you must understand. It is not because, it's not the money. It is that God said, you don't get what this, you heard this thing, but you are playing safe. That's one problem I have with my mother. You understand? I enter the house, I see a shrine. My mother is a Catholic. I have no problem with being a Catholic. Do you understand? I have no problem with it at all. I'm not one of those Pentecostals that say, if you go in a Catholic church, you are dead meat. I was a preacher when I went to wed. And where was my wedding? St. Paul's Catholic Church. I carry my body. Somebody say, I said, that's your problem. Me, I came to collect wife. Joseph. What do you say? You know, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord everywhere. Kneel down, get up. He said, I don't know. What is it? Do you take this girl to be your lawful wedded wife, to love and to... you know the funny thing? The vows they take there is more godly and more holy than all these Pentecostal jokes that we crack all over the place. Come on, the Pentecostals don't know how to take vows. They go to America and learn something. Americans are afraid to tell the truth. They write books for you, come and copy it. They will never tell you till death do us part. Go and check it. They don't say it. From today, we shall be one. After 2 years, we don't like it, we shall be two. When I read some of these Pentecostal vows, I just shake my head. He said, you want to prosper with this kind of vow? You want to prosper with this kind of vow? I hereby submit to you. You shall be my husband. I said, what kind of watered down American Supreme Court vow is this one? They said, no, Pentecostals make me laugh. They said that for richer, for riches, you come to take vow. If I'm not the person who marry you, where I blame? You come and tell me, I take to you as my lawful wedded husband. For richer, for richer. I said, yeah, wait. What did you say? I said, for richer, you smoke. I said, the objecting priest, sorry, I want for richer, for poorer. In sickness and in health. He said, are you prophesying ill health? Not ill health. You know, Paul said that it was because of an affliction of the flesh that we met in the first place. That's a big deal. You can walk so much that you break down. Should your wife leave you at that time? I'm not prophesying ill health. A vow means no matter what the conditions. That's all it means. We're not saying that you will be sick. I mean, we shall never die. Did I say that? Till death do us part. One day, if Jesus doesn't come back, one of us will die first. Even if we drink poison at the same time. Somebody must close eye first. because I start some of these things, I just shake my head. I say, nah, ignorance. Nah, small pickiness. You know what they call small pickiness? They're still small. Unless you want to take vow, take it. For richer, for poorer. It's not you are not prophesying ill health. You are not prophesying poverty. You are saying, and you must understand, that's material thing we are discussing. We are saying that even if I'm stripped of every material thing, I won't leave you. That's all we are saying. So we say, well, I want to prophesy that I will always prosper. When we finish the marriage vow, we will not go and prophesy that. Even though we agree that for richer, for poorer, but why should we do poorer? Let's become richer. But the vow is that peradventure we are tested. After all, a righteous man falls 7 times. Yes. You understand? I enter the house, I see a shrine. My mother is a Catholic. The man who laid I don't know who laid the foundation anyway, whether it's people when I was in secondary school or this particular man. But there's a man that when we were young, we used to go to his house. All right? One of the most anointed men you ever saw. All right? He's late now, that last year or the year before. Okay? The name is Dr. Lufarati, all right? A veterinary pathologist. This man was on fire. We used to go to his house regularly, used to teach us the word of God. When the crowd outgrew his sitting room, he had to move them to his own church. The people were never members of his church. It's just that was a venue. It was just a venue. He chose a day that the church was not using. The church wouldn't use the venue. So we were going there for a long time. Do you understand? Now, this man taught the truth. I saw him pray. My younger sister was sick unto death. You pray her out of the deathbed. I'm telling you. And this man, I've told the story before. The man who a man told, this no go better for you. What can shake him around? He said, me, I'm a man of God. I return the curses to you. That guy collapsed and died. On the spot, not tomorrow. He warned the fellow, I'm a man of God. You don't talk nonsense. He said, there's an anointing upon my head that is sacred. Don't defile it. I want to say the joke. He said, okay, take your curses back. The man just went down, boom, instantly and died. They went to gather village people to come and be, because it was on the road. Please, sir. Sorry, sir. So after they beg, he went to the body, rebuked death in the name of Jesus, commanded the man to come back to life. The man woke up, entered his car and drove away. That's the kind of person I'm talking about. Not my preacher. Not a man raising money because he wants to build a church. That's not what I'm talking about. Talking about power. This man educated us for years. He laid the foundation for this thing that I'm doing today. And then from there, went to university and began to study the word of faith. And we're all doing this. Then I'll get back to my house. To my shock, my mother will mount a shrine to a Marian shrine in the corner of the house. I kicked the thing down. I kicked the thing down. I said, mommy, will you stop this nonsense? He said, I said, mommy, when I've left this house, Me and your Virgin Mary cannot occupy the same corner. Do you get the point? When I have left, she can return. I said, Mom, you know where your problem is? Say what? You are playing safe. You want to put one leg here? Listen, you can go to any church. You like. You know, I go, you've seen me, I'm what you call a Pentecostal. But you know, most of the things I do, Pentecostals don't do. Pentecostals do first fruit, I think it's the first joke. This morning, they decided to do redemption of the firstborn. I said, no, Pastor, if you need money, talk. Forget all this rubbish of redeeming the firstborn. After Jesus Christ has died, which nonsense firstborn are you redeeming? Jesus died. You are still carrying your children to go and redeem firstborn. You smoke something. So you can go to any church you like. That's not my problem. But I don't swallow everything just because somebody says it's church doctrine. Church cannot remove my head and my spirit. Not when I go, Jesus said, church doctrine. I said, listen, it's church doctrine. Okay, relax. I've been preaching the gospel, not just learning it to, before you got born again. So relax. If you want to talk, talk. Let's reason man to man. Don't come and harass me with hierarchical doctrine, something handed down. Listen, there's a reason I'm explaining all of these things, all right? Because the problem with people is that they like to play safe. They like to play safe. And God said, if I lift you up to a particular level of truth, your prate below that is called Ichabod. The glory has departed. And anytime glory departs, go and see what happened when the anointing of God left the life of Saul. You don't want to hear what happened to Saul. An evil spirit came and replaced it. You don't try nonsense. God cannot, he cannot release truth to you. And because of the fear of people, if you don't understand it, it is different. No, it is different. When you have not, you have not been enlightened, it's a different matter. That is why everywhere I go these days, when Pentecostal law of God, law of business that they do, I laugh. I laugh. I laugh. I tell my wife, I can't do this. I don't want to get punished by God. I can't do this. No, we take everything Old Testament, you know, color it. Christian, I get that you have to redeem your firstborn. I will be looking at them and say, you guys are funny. With what? With cash. Where did you read ever in the Bible that redemption of firstborn was done with money? But you know, Christians are funny. Pastors, we need money. You know, running ministry is expensive. We use all kinds of tricks to get it out of it. You don't want to give. We will make you give. We'll collect your tithe. Not remain again. We turn it to first fruit. Not remain our firstborn. Don't worry. Just watch it. By next December, there will be what they call it, late harvest. Just watch it. I'm not a business, but it's us. Are you getting my point? It's us. We'll now be pointed that the Catholics worship Mary. We worship money. I don't know which one is worse. Us worship something, shall, apart from God. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, I don't know why I'm feeling happy. Okay, yeah, I know I'm feeling happy. Some people vex for me right now. Vex for me right now. Hear ye the word of the Lord. You will leave here today, you'll be angry, you won't come back for 1 year. At the end of 1 year, you'll be back begging me to teach you some more. It always happens. I'm used to it. Because what I'm saying is truth and is liberating. Go back home, go and give, go and redeem your firstborn, secondborn, thirdborn, fourthborn. Redeem all of them for safety's sake. You know, you never be, you can be sure the one God really wants. Redeem them. Tight on their head, prophesy, sow seed, do everything. When your problems and poverty have consolidated after 18 months, you'll be back. Yeah, I am not kidding. I am not kidding. You'll be back and you say, sir, what did you say that time? I said to you, in Christ Jesus, you have been made totally free. Every time you make an attempt to get God to do what he has done for you in Christ Jesus already, as a reward for the work that you have done, you are working with the devil. You are no longer working with God. Yes. As about what they are saying is hard. If we don't say it, how will you ever hear it? Is it not the truth we are telling? Let me ask you, what do I stand to personally gain from all these things I say? If you are talking money, I should be the one losing. I'm also a pastor now. Don't I want money? You think running ministry is free? So why do I keep saying it? I will tell you, because it is the truth. And it has to be told. Freedom in Christ is free. Only two things Paul said God is asking from you. That's the one he started, that's that book of Colossians. The first one he said, stop engaging in your own effort to try and please God. Accept that he has forgiven you. Accept it. I told you, one of the problems we have in today's Christianity, a man is a thief. After stealing, he comes back, he begins life to Christ. Some people church even thought they teach. There's one funny doctrine or institution that's going around now. Some of you go to churches that your life is in intense confusion because of restitution. That they are head stories. Anyway, I'll get back to that in a moment. Paul said, number one, beware. Yes, you are a thief. So you want to go around and start doing giving to pay for your days of iniquity. It does not work. Just accept you have been forgiven and walk away. That's the thing. A lot of people say that, you know, that the craziest of the jokes, well, not the craziest, there are worse jokes than this. The most popular of them is musicians. After singing in nightclubs, singing bad music, singing all this sexually immoral, you know, all this perverse music all over the place, a musician gives life to Christ. Then comes to a church, and unconsciously in his mind, because of wrong doctrine, they don't teach him, he starts singing praise worship. You know why he's doing it? Because he wants God to, you know, let's, you know, how many years did we spend singing for the devil? 15 years. Then he wants to spend 18 years singing for God, thereby wiping away the sins of 15 years of singing for the devil. The moment he starts, God attacks him and starts fighting him. Everything he does, he doesn't prosper again. Why? Because he has refused to accept forgiveness. God said, all right, are you going to continue singing useless songs? No, sir. Have you given your life to Christ? Yes, sir. From now on, you will live for Christ. Yes, now go back home and I have forgiven you. Period. Every step you take as per paying back for the sins is a new sin. It's a new sin. A lot of people are there in church walking. Walking. You know what? They are trying to say, there was a time I was walking in a shrine. Let me now walk in church so as to counterbalance the shrine walk. Every day you spend walking, you are adding iniquity to iniquity. The first iniquity has been forgiven, so God is not counting it. But now that you are working for him, you have begun to sin. A lot of people in churches today, they are sinners. Father God, I'm speaking the truth, so I'm not ashamed of the gospel. A lot of people that call themselves pastors now, they will die suddenly. Not for any other reasons, because God will get tired of their sins of being a pastor. Yet they don't realize it. They think they are doing something very holy and righteous. Many people have gone to jungles to go and preach. A snake will bite them there and they will die. Not because the gospel is not true, but because they did not come to the jungle to preach in obedience to the gospel. They've come to the jungle to preach so as to pay for their sins when they were in Nassau Rock. Are you getting my point? Yes. They want to go and do, you know, they are there in the jungle preaching. Say, God, we are preaching. And when they want to preach, there was a time I was a sinner. All they are saying is that now I'm paying up. I am paying up. Don't worry, after 20 years of suffering with you guys, I will have finished settling God. And God will wait. One day, tree will fall, break his leg. God is trying to drive him away from the jungle to go back to the city. He don't go here. After a long time, God just said, Mamba, you know there's a tree, black Mamba, bite him. He said, but I thought you said that no evil shall befall them. He said, no, this one is not evil, it's good. Bite him. Will I be able to hurt him? No. I will just be able to kill him when you bite him. Now, he's such a dedicated man. Why did God allow him to die with the snake, with the Mamba bite? Because it is not, nobody say, I don't say, I mean, it's not like Mamba has power over my children. But this one, I have gotten tired of him. Let me take him home. He's not going to hell. You are not going to go to hell. Let me tell you, if you like, cross the road, beat him up, he shoots you. You will still go to heaven. One angel will, if I want you to arrive, slap you on top. You can't come so early. See your, go and stay there. What am I going to explain? See, listen. Many people, What's happening to them is that they are beginning to do things for God, trying to pay him up for what he has already forgiven them of. And that becomes a new set of sins. Every day he gives money is recorded against him. Every day he goes out to preach, it is recorded against him. Not because preaching is bad. You must understand what I'm saying in context. It is because he's not doing this as good works he was created for. He's doing these things as what we do so as to make sure that God is not angry with us. And God said, the only reason I am not angry with you is because you have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when God gives you a gift, you receive it by faith and you thank him for it, it is done. That's it. People want to start undoing the evil they did before as a way of paying God back. And God says, you can't pay. Who gave you the money to pay? Listen, when it comes to a human soul, as an example, you could have done things deliberately or accidentally that led to the death of a human being. The redemption of a soul is costly. Paying back, it's impossible. So if you decide, okay, for all these things, when Boko Haram, we joined those who bombed a bus and killed 90 people. You know that's very wicked. You know that? So you now give your life to Christ. You now go to all bus stations to be preaching. And all you are thinking of, the picture in your mind is a bomb blast. That you were the one that designed the bomb. You were the one that placed in the car. That your two friends who are suicide bombers drove to the station. And it blew up, killed them, killed 90 other people. And then Jesus touched your heart. And of course, you should feel bad for such things. It should. And then you now make the mistake. When you want to pray, you remember. What you don't realize, it is called the accuser of the brethren. He's the one accusing you. Are you getting my point? You now say, okay, what do we do? They overcome him, all right? This is how they do. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The blood of the Lamb is what wipes away their sins. They are not supposed to try and wipe away the sins themselves. They are supposed to claim that the blood of Jesus has done it, and they rebuke those pictures. Are you getting my point? But people don't know. They're not going from bus station to bus station. They saw that sin that it shall die. I'm warning you. Tomorrow may be too late. Give your life to Christ now. So who's giving life to Christ? Five people put up their hand. He counts it. How many people died in that bomb blast? 90. Okay, five don't say, praise God. And he's going around preaching and preaching. And those who do not know what is driving him, I said, that brother loves the gospel. No! He has refused to accept forgiveness. That's all. And you think he loves the gospel. He doesn't love gospel, jack. There are people who are giving and giving and giving, giving, giving. Help the poor, help the orphan, help the widow, help the society. Give it to the gospel, man of God, everything. What is pushing? One cobble of that offering, God doesn't collect. One cobble, one molten penny like this, God does not accept. Why? He said, you know what is pushing him? He was a bank MD stealing money. and he's giving recklessly. And the guy is giving and God is not collecting. Oh, I bless God for pastors. They will collect. I'm sure many people have given money to Kingdom World that God didn't collect, but we collected.